This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
That's the dude.
Why are you staring at me like that?
What?
You.
But because my eyes aren't really good. It's dark in my studio, and I'm trying to make eye contact with the person I work with. I have old eyes.
I was just looking at my phone for a second. I just felt that stare, that stare that you know someone's looking at you, and Brian was just staring at me. I just was wondering if I could help you with something.
Sorry. No, I just think you look really nice today.
You just said you couldn't see me, so.
Did Micah finally figure out how to permanently turn the lights off in there for you?
Or? No, I was having eye troubles at first this morning. Yeah. Everything was too bright, so I had to turn them off.
Which puts me, because I was thinking the same thing, actually, this morning. Like, dude, I had a pound of sleep in both eyes. And I'm like, I'm trying to get it all cleared out, and Brian shuts his off. I'm like, we're not going to do this show in the dark. I gotta just power through in here and leave the light on.
It's still plenty bright in here.
It is incredibly dark back there.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys see
me now.
Oh, that's a short course. Wow. Just choked myself out, man. Take your headphones off before you roll your chair to the door, dude. Check the length of your leash.
Not like that Olympic skier who's under scrutiny for an enlargement.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, my cord did not get enlarged there. That's for sure. Ran a little short.
We got the dude down the hall joining us. We previewed this golf tournament. I always am terrible at the actual name of the golf tournament. What was this one?
It was the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Sorry, I'm still recovering. I feel like a steer in the rodeo, the way they get roped and pulled back.
Yeah, okay. I can do the calf tie if you want.
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
Sorry. Sorry. I was channeling my inner Derbs.
Yeah, I'm going to. Colin Morikawa. It was a guy that, you know, we talk a lot. We both do the DFS stuff where you create your fantasy lineups. And I just had this gut feeling about Morikawa, and I drafted him
to a good start.
Half of my lineups, and he ended up paying dividends for me. Derbs, what did you think of Morikawa?
He had one of the better performances on Saturday you could ever draw up, really. Made 10 birdies, 18 out of 18 greens hit. Even the wind got a little sideways during his round, so definitely earned it that way. Yesterday, a little bit of up and down, but he hits the ball so well that it really just all comes down to the putter. He's a part of Team No Putt, and when he kind of figures out the putter, that's when you see him shine.
How does that happen? You know, I just wonder, you know, a professional golfer, I know there's all sorts of aspects of the game to work on, but how does somebody, did he ever have the ability to putt? Did he lose it? I mean, obviously there are people who have their strengths in the game, but you would think putting is that one thing. I mean, I just remember my son and his friends with their headlights on the putting green to light it up and would just spend hours out there doing it. What is it? Is it equipment? What are your thoughts, Derbs?
It's a combination of everything. I mean, speaking from experience, I live in the Morikawa way. Like, I can hit a golf ball, can't putt a lick.
Okay.
So I think it comes down to, like, your youth. When if you enjoy putting and getting after it on that and practicing your craft that way, you become a very good putter. I mean, I enjoyed hitting golf balls, so I'd hit a zillion golf balls, and now I can still hit a golf ball okay, even though, like, taking a bunch of time off, it's just kind of ingrained in there.
Mm-hmm.
But in Morikawa's situation, like, I think it's just a mental hurdle for him. I don't know whether or not he just doesn't read it right, if he doesn't hit it on the right line,
Has this been an ongoing problem with him?
Oh, yeah. His short game's a disaster.
Really? Always has been?
Yeah. If you do a quick Google search on, like, some of his chip shots, I mean, last week he had two of them that didn't make it over a foot in front of him.
Oh, my.
So, I mean, he relies on hitting greens and hitting it close enough to give him a million opportunities, and I've capitalized on that this week. You know, you don't shoot 62 by accident without having a putter, so you're hitting it, you know, your proxy to the hole is pretty darn close.
Well, and I believe he got that putter off Minwoo Lee, or mm-hmm. I believe it was at the end that they were telling the story on, and...
What, he just distract him and take it, or was it gifted to him?
No, I'm pretty sure Minwoo's going to be charging him quite a bit after he took home a $3.6 million purse using that putter.
Yeah.
Now, Minwoo did okay. He came in second with $1.76 million.
Nobody's hurting there.
Nobody's, no. And they were on the same plane together.
And were they really?
It was going to be a playoff. It was a fun tournament overall. And it got a little more juicy as Scotty came out there. You know, I was even watching the Golf Central pregame show ahead of time. And they're showing some of those clips of Scotty. He was banging in some putts early. What is with the last couple of weeks where Scotty has started off so slow, Dustin? And we've talked to how he's always, early in his career, he's been steady Eddie.
Yeah, four days.
4 days in a row, he's going to be there. He's going to go a couple under every day. That hasn't been the case the last 2 weeks. He's waited, but then we've seen a side of Scotty that we haven't seen, that aggressive side. He had 3 eagles on the scorecard yesterday and 3 bogeys as well, where he threw caution to the wind. It's fun to see Scotty have that in there, but why is it having to come down to a magical run on Sunday for Scotty?
He doesn't enjoy the POA greens. So
what is that?
So it's the type of grass, for lack of, I guess, time and things, it's if the entire sheet of grass is green, there's little yellow bumps. And you'll notice them out here. There's a lot of courses that use that POA will grow, and they bump. So it's, you know, as the day goes on, it gets longer and longer. So in this in particular tournament, they were so worried about the wind late in the afternoon that they didn't mow or they didn't roll just to kind of calm that down so the ball would stay still on the green when the wind kicked up.
Okay.
And you even saw, like, at the end of Saturday, like, the ball was oscillating while they were trying to putt at the end of the day.
Really?
Spell oscillating.
Yeah, no, that's not bad. moving.
Yes.
Kind of. but, yeah, he doesn't. So Scotty just doesn't. He doesn't enjoy those. He likes the pure surfaces. He comes from Dallas, where you don't see a lot of that down there. It's typically, like, bent grass in Bermuda, which are typically very smooth surfaces.
That's very interesting good. To me. What does the Eaton Country Club have on their greens?
Is it
Bermuda?
Yeah, it's bent grass mostly. Okay. A little bit of bluegrass. It does grow a little bit of poa out there too. It's one of those. It's kind of like a weed, but it's not. It just kind of spreads, and once you have poa, you have poa.
Is that why you're there able to manipulate it and get it so fast? Like, is bent grass easier to manipulate and get the speed, the green speeds faster?
It typically just comes down to the health of the grass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, Kyle, when he's coming in here for majors, can speak a little bit more on that. But
sure.
But that's why they aerate and do all those things to keep the roots healthy and everything so that you can go up and downs and speeds and not kill them.
I thought it was a fun tournament. I thought Scotty coming out and firing that 63 on Sunday put a little more juice. And then that shot, his second shot on 18 on Sunday. I don't know if you saw, but he was two back off the lead, and he hit, I would imagine, maybe a 3-wood, maybe 5-wood. I don't know what hybrid he hit, and he hit it to within 4 feet, you know, and had a relative, you know, for that guy like that, a tap-in eagle to tie it. And that leaderboard, I'm like, good God, we have never seen this much parity in golf, I don't think, Dustin. And you've
it's
talked
wonderful.
About this for a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you saw Akshay Bhatia, like, I think it's going to take some time for some of these younger guys. They're going to compete, but to learn how to win, like, I think Akshay Bhatia probably learned a fantastic lesson this weekend. He was in the driver's seat of this tournament.
And he came needs out to eat.
And I thought with some of those wins, he was just going to blow off the course.
Like a paper airplane.
Yeah. But I think some of those young guys, there's going to be some good learning possibilities. But on those Sundays, when you see some of those veterans, might be a good betting opportunity as well, because it does going to take those guys some time to learn how to win, and we saw that with Akshay.
Yeah, for those that are trying to get into golf and want to throw a couple bucks around, like, your odds are incredibly well. Like, I mean, I know there were some people in my friends group that were throwing out, like, Fleetwood and McIlroy, you know, when they're 8-9 back to top 10, top 5, like, you're getting some pretty good odds for a couple of bucks. I think Fleetwood, if you would have done top 5 and top 10, would have got you some pretty good change being as far back as he was. And then I think he shot 65 or 66.
66.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out there if you're trying to get into golf and you're like, oh, man, I just don't want to watch this boring thing, but I got $5 in my pocket. like, that's a fun way to just pick a guy and be like, yeah, let's see if he can go shoot a number on Sunday. Because everybody on Sunday is going to chase.
Yeah.
There's other than the, you know, the top five, they're probably creeping a little bit. But everybody in behind them is going full bore.
Yeah, they are. My wife and I did that exact same thing. I put $10 on Colin Morikawa to win the tournament. And I'm like, who would you like here? And she goes, let's go with Sam Burns, right? It was a $10, and yeah, my wife was invested in the whole thing throughout the tournament. So it is a fun way to get involved. Sorry, Brian.
No, I'm, you know, you've talked about this before, Derbs, when I've talked about the concern of the players who went to the LIV and how good golf could be if we had all these people together. And you've pointed out, look at what those guys have done, and let's look what they did at the tour before they left. And the names were there, but the performance, not necessarily. And what you see if you watch the PGA and have watched over the last couple of years, there is an endless stream of young talent that keeps popping up, that every week you're seeing new names on the leaderboard. Are they American-leaning? Because I always think Ryder Cup-wise. Mm. When it comes down to Ryder Cup, are we going to have a good batch of American golfers versus the Euros and so forth? With the young talent you're seeing in, is there a good mix of both, or is it leaning heavier one way or the other, Derbs?
It's a pretty good mix. Honestly, a lot of the guys that you see at the top of the leaderboard are qualifiers from the DP World Tour that have kind of mastered their craft overseas and are like, if I can auto-qualify into a lot of these tournaments, I'm going to go take a shot at the big boys. So you see a lot of that, but there is a lot of U.S. talent. There's like Ryan Gerard is a UNC grad of a couple years ago, really finding his way. Jacob Bridgman you saw here.
I'm ready to throw him in the ocean.
He had a little struggles yesterday, but he was the top of the leaderboard.
Jake Knapp.
Yeah, Jake Knapp. There's a ton of U.S. talent. And that's the biggest thing with me with the PGA Tour that I enjoy watching is, like, I'll forever say it, anybody in the field can win. Any one of those guys can shoot 65 four straight days and find themselves in a position or blowing a tournament away. You're talking about Akshay Batia as a three-time winner on tour, and everybody's like, who's this guy? Like, mm-hmm. Those are the fun things to me, but you do have to watch. You do have to pay attention to know these guys and kind of who they are. It's not the old days of, like, when I was growing up, probably with your son, of going, it's Tiger and Phil.
Yeah.
If I don't see Tiger and Phil at the top, then I'm like, nah.
We're starting to get into it where it's a good balance of both, and this was what we were looking for. We've been looking for that next Tiger because you need that name draw, because I guarantee you people tuned in when they started to see Scotty climb that leaderboard. So you've got that, and Scotty can be the main draw, but then you're learning about Minwoo Lee. Then you're learning about Sam Burns. You're learning about
these
guys.
I sat and watched Johnny Vegas win a tournament, when I was sitting and watched him for a couple of days, and you just never know who's going to have that group of days. Yeah.
Golf's in a good spot because they have that anchor now. They have the closest thing that we've seen to Tiger is since Tiger. And we've got that, but we've got so much young talent coming up to push and learn, too, where it is a little bit like that on Sundays. When Scotty starts climbing that leaderboard, you start hearing those roars and things.
Oh, yeah.
You know he's coming on there and it's putting that pressure on, which is only going to make these young guys better in the long run. As we wrap up golf talk here with the dude down the hall, I do want to talk about Liv. Anthony Kim scores his first win since 2010.
I read that.
I think this was maybe the coolest golf community coming together, not caring about the live thing for Anthony Kim. Can you talk about that a little bit, Derbs?
Yeah, that was probably the one positive thing that I can ever say about live is I'll root for Anthony Kim because he was probably the first-ish type guy of me growing up that, like, his creativity shined. Mm. Like, he wasn't robotic. He could shoot 60 or he could shoot 80. And he was so charismatic, had good runs in the Ryder Cup, and the animated side of him was so cool to watch. And then I just caught the highlights, so I didn't watch any of it because it's in Australia and it was on at whatever, midnight. but the fist pumps when he made three in a row, I think it was either 15, 16, 17 or 14, 15 and 16 to get him to the top of the leaderboard over Rahm and DeChambeau, was a neat feeling to watch.
Yeah, 40-year-old American stepped away from competitive golf for 12 years when he struggled with drug and alcohol use. He needed to play a qualifying tournament last month just to get another season on the LIV Tour. Kim said, for it to actually happen is pretty insane. I just want to thank all the people that have supported me. along the way. So that was a cool golf
moment.
That's
a great
as well.
Story. Yeah.
So quickly, when he retired from the PGA, he had an insurance policy that said that he could never play professional golf or that insurance policy would go away. So that's why he took that long of a break and then obviously got the bag and the offer over there is why he's back to playing.
That's awesome, and it sounds like he's got his mind right as well, and handling those drug and alcohol abuses that he had going on. So very cool story on the LIV Tour as well. The NBA All-Star Game took place yesterday. What were our thoughts? We'll share those with you next. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. What event is this, Derbs?
It's just speed skating.
Speed skating on here. A guy almost won using his butt. There's a big wreck, and the guy started skating backwards towards the end of it.
Really?
Yeah.
And he passed the line?
It was real close.
Really? So you don't have to be facing forward?
I think it's where your skate is. I think is what they go by.
Now, I would watch this more if there were more accidents like that. Like, there's just three little foreign dudes that just took out a wall. Where? Look at this. So they're coming around the corner. They're hauling.
Okay, we're on the radio, and you're saying, look at this.
Talking about
the major flaw there.
How many of them did he take? Is he taunting right there?
I think there's four or five a race.
I get confused.
That's just a qualifying round.
But when there's, there'll be guys going around the inside of it, and then the actual skater is on the outside, and they're like keeping pace, and then they blend in. One moves out. I get very confused as I watch.
It's kind of like a roller derby action,
too. That's exactly what it's like.
Would you say you're
Kansas City Bombers
invested in the Olympics?
No, but when there's nothing else that's on, I 100% am watching Olympics. Yeah, I'm not trying to find something else.
Even the figure skating and like that stuff.
I like the figure skating. Those are very talented.
I don't mind the figure skating. I didn't watch it, but I don't mind it. If it were to be on when nothing else was on, I'd watch it.
I would shut the TV off. I just cannot get into this at all. Like, this week I'll lock in with the hockey because the Team USA just continues to roll. Mm-hmm. Did you see Finland? Who did Finland beat 11-0?
France, I believe.
It's just insane. And then the Canada beat them 10-2, which, again, bad on Canada goalie. I don't know why they keep throwing Bennington out there, but excited about that. The NBA All-Star Game yesterday. How much did you watch at the NBA All-Star Game, Brian?
I saw the end of a game where the world was eliminated. I just saw the three-pointer whatever to eliminate them.
Yeah, okay.
And so I saw a shot.
Wimby was very upset when that went in. He was the one guy consistently, and he said it, I'm going to play hard. That dude is fun to watch, even in those situations.
I'm a big fan of his.
Did you watch much of it?
I watched maybe 5 minutes of the game that Kawhi Leonard went nuts.
Okay.
Where he had 31, but I caught maybe 20 of his points or so.
Okay. So I watched, it was on and off, but I watched a decent amount of this. When I first turned it over there, I was like, okay, they're not playing. It was the World versus the Stars or Stripes. I don't know which team was which.
I got confused by that.
And I'm like, okay, there's absolutely no defense being played again here. Like, I'm out. And then I checked back in throughout. It was on at the TV at the restaurant that we were at. And I was like, there's a little intensity here. This is going well. They're never going to reach what the NHL did with the Four Nations face-off. But I think this was a much better version. And Luka and Jokic didn't play in the game that you were just talking about where the world got eliminated, Brian. Mm-hmm. And you said that the Nuggets said Jokic is only playing one. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. I think it was like a 5 or 6 minute stint was what he was allowed to play. It was what one push.
Him and Luka were just messing around over there on the bench. But you did see some fire. It showed you, we always say, oh, he's a dog. We showed you who the true dogs are, and Victor Wembanyama is one, and Anthony Edwards is another. I mean, Anthony Edwards...
They're competitive as hell, and I do like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean... to me, it's just sad that it takes like a bunch of like trash talk and to get to a format that they actually like to be like, you know what, I could probably try for 10 straight minutes.
And you said LeBron was
trying.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah, the game that I watched, I mean, LeBron was crashing boards, getting offensive boards, tipping shots, playing like LeBron in the Olympics. And I'm like, dude, if you played this hard for 6 straight minutes then for the Lakers, they'd never lose.
Well...
That's incredible. He set a record. He lost his 11th All-Star game. Nobody's ever lost more All-Star games than LeBron James
has. Is that right?
Yeah, that is a
Well, he's been in how many? 20-some?
21, I think, no? 21 now. But obviously, I mean, it didn't pique any of our interest enough to dedicate, sit down, and watching, right?
I think it needs to go the way of the Pro Bowl, where I think there's fire under the skills competitions. I think the three-point thing is a great thing to watch. That's fun. The dunk, we've seen everything. I don't know. You can come up with something else or whatever. But a skills competition was fun. That's something people can get interested. But forget about the game. Just wipe the game out completely.
I'm with you there. I wanted to watch the three-point contest, and I didn't realize it was on at like 2 in the afternoon when everything says NBA All-Star Night is their coverage. And I'm like, well, 2 in the afternoon isn't night.
It's night in Australia.
Yeah, I was watching hockey and golf, and then I happened to look on ESPN just to look at another score. And I was like, oh, Damian Lillard wins three-point
contest. That's when I found out that he had won. I didn't even know that it had been on, so I went and watched a little of it afterwards. But
what injury does he have that he can't play but he can shoot?
Tore his Achilles, I believe.
Yeah, how do you feel if you're the Trailblazers right now? Well, yeah. I guess
I'm feeling optimistic that he can still shoot, and I've got him next year.
Yeah, I mean, shooting is probably okay. You can shoot off one leg.
Well,
in
any positive PR, the Trailblazers after the start of the season you had, probably a good thing. Face it, this was one of the best All-Star Games format in a long time. I did agree. I watched more of it than I would have if it was just the East versus the West. And
it was a low bar.
It was 190 to 186. It was better because it's. Especially if you tuned in and it was close in the last 3 minutes, you saw that intensity just kind of naturally wrap up. I did. I shook my head, though, because they interviewed LeBron after he was on the Stripes team, I think. And they interviewed him, and he's like, yeah, these are the moments somebody hit a three to win it. And he's like, these are the moments you live for. You got the ball in your hand. I'm like, oh, shut up. It's an All-Star game. None of you really care that much. Take the purse that you put from the NBA Cup and delegate some of that over to the All-Star game and see how hard these guys play. Make it a financial incentive for these players.
They make so much money that, I mean, seriously, what kind of incentive are you going to throw out there that makes it? These guys would rather have time off.
If you win $500,000 if you win the game and you got to go hard for 12 minutes, I don't know. I'd have $500,000 a player. You guys think that would be with that?
I don't even know that that's enough.
I don't think that's enough to move the needle. I don't think
that's crazy to me.
Well, that's the whole thing is crazy. And the finance scheme.
Did you hear Adam Silver over the weekend? Oh, Brady's going to have a field day with this on the whole show. I cannot wait to listen in today because Brady just thinks that Adam Silver has the dumbest ideas, and he does. I agree wholeheartedly with Brady. But one of the things to solve tanking that was floated out there by Adam Silver was to have a tournament at the end of the year for the teams and whoever wins that tournament gets the number one overall pick. A little flaw with this, if I'm borderline about to make the playoffs or there's a generational talent coming out of college and I can go get him, I'm going to tank now, and it's expanding the amount of teams that are going to tank. And then in that tournament, I'm going to play hard as hell and go get the number one overall seed. So it's just going to expand the tanking, I feel like. He had some dumb ideas over the weekend.
You'd have to shrink the amount of teams. You'd have to have, instead of being the lottery, being the top 13, it'd have to be like the top 6 or something like that to have that go. Because, I mean, you're exactly right. But they do.
There's only one feeling. Like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Won the time. The Colorado Rockies opening day projected lineup is dropped from the MLB.
Boy.
How do we want to do this? Should we grab a break and then on the other side have you guys guess who's starting in what position? Because you've heard these guys. You guys working together, I think you could get it. Derb seems very confident in the Rockies, his Rockies knowledge here. Mm-hmm. Hey, and I think it's because we spend too much time together probably, Dustin.
By position, I don't know if I can do it by position, but I think I could name the players.
Okay. All right.
Different story here.
I have to be like 10-second Tom from 51st Dates. I got to reintroduce myself every morning.
And?
So I'm just saying. Also, Miami Dolphins. Let's do that on the other side. Let's see if you guys can guess the opening day starting lineup.
Good Lord, no.
And then other breaking news. The Miami Dolphins just released Tyreek Hill after releasing Bradley Chubb. They released him earlier. I would imagine Tua is going to be next, where they're cleaning house there in Miami. Tyreek Hill, Denver Broncos, gut yes or no on a decent deal?
No.
I would go yes. Okay, very interesting. 9:42 the time. Let's guess. See and participate in this. Text us. What do you think the opening day lineup looks like for the Colorado Rockies? 888-530-0043. Let's get to the KFK News and Sports Center. All right. Batting first for the Colorado Rockies on opening day is whom?
Batting first. So you're not going position? We're supposed to guess the lineup in their batting order that hasn't even...
Yep.
They haven't even gotten together, and we're doing a batting order.
They're there.
Doyle.
No. Nuts. Okay, but you do... Brenton Doyle is batting seventh, playing center field.
That's close.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's try again.
Now try another one. Okay, I'll try one.
Mm-hmm. Batting first.
Tovar. Mm.
Batting second, playing shortstop.
I was closer than you. Yeah, that was pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Projected Colorado Rockies opening day lineup.
This Julian fella that they signed.
Batting eighth, playing first base, Edward Julian.
Oh, I got the bottom half of the lineup down.
Who is Edward Julian?
King Julian. We got him from the Minnesota Twins.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Utility player.
He hits the ball in the gaps.
That's what we're going for this year.
Mm-hmm. Gapper.
Mm-hmm. People who can get the ball in the air.
Okay, I'm going to put that on the side of had no idea who he was.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, you guys, any guesses on batting first?
I thought we just guessed four times for batting first.
I know.
Three times.
You've eliminated the 7-hole, the 8-hole, and the 2-hole.
What do you got, Derbs?
Where is a Beck?
Batting fifth in left field, Jordan Beck.
That's pretty good.
Wouldn't have come up with that one. I know Hunter Goodman.
Hunter Goodman is batting fourth and catching.
Where he should be.
Mm-hmm. We are darn close to the over already here.
We are. Yeah.
You guys are still missing quite a few.
I've named three that I heard you say during the commercial break.
I know. Where is a McCarthy?
Batting first, playing in right field.
JJ? He left the Vikings?
Jake McCarthy, acquired from the Arizona Diamondbacks, projected to be leading off for the Colorado Rockies and playing right field is Jake McCarthy.
They need name tags on the front of their jerseys, too.
So they've got Jake McCarthy batting first. You guys guessed it. Ezekiel Tovar playing short, batting second. Who is DHing and playing third, or excuse me, batting third and DHing? Okay, I even gave you a little hint there with what position.
Did he participate last year?
He did.
Oh, boy.
That's not Chris Bryant.
He participates still. They haven't released him yet.
No, he's on the 60-day IL.
Oh, sweet. Oh, boy.
You heard me do this guy's nickname a ton of times in the old broadcaster's voice. Mm.
I don't... I got nothing. What
batting third of DH and Mickey Mantle Moniak? Mickey Moniak.
Okay, I remember him.
Mm-hmm. You guys said you got four. Hunter Goodman catching, batting cleanup. Jordan Beck in left field, batting fifth, and batting sixth would be.
Well, I'm running out of ball club names. Did he participate here last year?
No, he did not.
Oh no,
no, he did not. This was a guy that you knew of though when they acquired him.
Oh,
Benihana.
This is not a bit. If you're listening and saying, "Oh, this is a fun little bit they're playing," these two are completely bamboozled right now by the projected Colorado Rockies opening day lineup.
You're gonna say, and I'm gonna hate myself.
Yeah, Willie Castro.
Castro.
He was a twin, right? Yeah.
Willie Castro playing third base. They've got Brenton Doyle batting seventh, playing center field. Edward Julian playing first base, batting eighth. And any guesses on the 9-hole hitter here?
Oh, no chance. I get that.
He played here last year.
With the guy that you showed the picture of in the break, the guy that gained 40 pounds.
No, not Zach Veen. Zach Veen. No, okay. No, not Zach Veen.
I knew him. Michael Tolia.
No, they cut him.
Okay.
He's no longer at the team.
All right.
Okay, so we've got right. So they're playing second base.
The Humidor.
No, Tyler Freeman.
Sensatella.
Tyler Freeman is projected to be batting ninth.
I thought he was our closer.
And playing second base.
He closes from second base, mm-hmm. though.
You get extra points for that.
I like that.
You guys want to take a stab at the rotation? The five people that they think is in the rotation?
Well, that's Kyle Freeman.
Kyle Freeland.
Sensatella.
No.
Well, I'm done.
Think about, come on now.
I saw Marquez signed with the Padres.
Did he? Good,
yeah.
Good for Ehrman. Or German. Or Germán. We changed his name 19 times when he's here. We just signed this guy.
What's the... Lorenzen.
Michael Lorenzen.
Here we come.
Ryan Feltner. Chase Dolander, Tanner Gordon. Now, obviously, this wasn't updated after they signed Jose Quintana and Shigano.
Shigano's he's real, real bad. That list might not get updated.
Oh, that is wonderful. Brady Hull listening this morning just tagged me and said, "At Tanner Schwinn, are we doing this again? No shave or haircut till 20 wins."
See you in June.
Posted a picture of him with the beard.
He wore it well.
Mm-hmm, looks nice.
Do we roll it back? Do we run it back with the same punishment as last year?
Well, I would start early. If you did, I wouldn't go in the middle of the season because...
Yeah, it was brutal. And we got to have higher expectations for the Rocks this year.
Based on what?
That lineup. You guys.
Let me listen back to that and see if I find some optimism.
Why am I finding optimism? Well, there's a plan in place, finally. There is a plan in place.
There's a semblance of a plan.
The concepts
of a plan, yes.
Jake McCarthy is a speedster, and he hits the ball in the gap. He bats 211.
But does it fall on the grass?
I don't know why I'm trying to have a serious conversation with you two idiots. They've assembled guys that put the ball in the air. Coors Field has a massive outfield, as we've talked about. You've got speedy defenders out there with Brent Doyle, still the best defensive center fielder in all of baseball. But they've got guys that put the ball in the air. So they're trying to eliminate the ground ball outs. And on the other side, you're acquiring sinker ball pitchers or splitters that pitch low, could give up a gazillion walks, which they've done already. But they're not going to allow those doubles or those home runs. That's the theory. But when's the last time, honestly, guys, we sat here and said, you can see what the front office is trying to acquire here? No splashy names, no big names acquired. But when's the last time we can say, I can see the blueprint? Has it ever been that way before?
I don't know if you could really tell out of this either. I mean, like the guys that they're trying to acquire, I mean, they're hitting like 220s, 230s. No,
They were just hungry.
Yeah, well, real hungry, like starving, like hungry, hungry Homer.
I think we just gathered all the leftovers of the league to have a meal.
So what realistic win expectations for the Rockies? You would say what?
Oh, if they get to like... 65-70, I think, would be real, real good.
Just going to say 60.
Yeah, that would be. They won 49 last year?
Yeah, I mean, they'll creep into the 50s for sure. But, I mean, do you know what the Vegas total is?
I don't.
It's got to be mid-50s, probably.
Let's grab a break, and I can find that in between there. So there is your projected Colorado Rockies opening day lineup. Who doesn't have baseball fever now? Hope springs eternal. 9:54 the time.
I guess mine's just the poops.
Can't wait it's for $20 beer day.
We'll come back and wrap it up next. The over-under win total for you degenerates out there for the Colorado Rockies is 53.5.
I will take the over for the upcoming year.
I would also place the over. I don't enjoy futures because that's, you know, you're probably still getting -110 or something for 54 wins. And that's just way too long for me to tie up that. But if you can find three or four or five or six or seven or others that would like to go with that, I would feel... actually pretty confident in that.
That's a 10-game improvement. It would be a 10-game improvement.
Tells you how really pathetically awful this team has been.
Epically bad.
I think there's a small chance that they don't lose 100 games this year. I think there's a small chance that they win 63 games. That'd be a 20-game improvement.
Yeah, that's a big improvement. It's still a terrible baseball team, even if you get to that, but that would be a big improvement.
If there's a line out there where you can alt it to that, I'd be more interested in that.
Gambling, yeah. Because what was the numbers when they retained Warren Schaefer, teams that had lost 100 games who retained their manager into the next year had a 20-game bump. Teams that got somebody new, it was a 10 to 15-game bump. So it would be right around there, but do we do the beard? Do we do the facial hair, I think, is pretty good. Pretty good punishment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But this is my problem, is that Brady looks like a GQ model, and I look like I just crawled out of a dumpster.
Maybe you shouldn't get food unless they win.
There's a guy that said Scotty Scheffler wouldn't win in California, or he would eat Wendy's chili straight for a month as his only meal. He's eating chili now.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. I was thinking, do we tie in like a Rockies dog, like some hot dog related into this? And
then what, you eat one for each loss?
Yeah.
And then you keep having to eat that amount? Like we ate 64 yesterday, and now we got to eat 65, then eat 66?
Oh, no.
No. You just, go with the facial hair.
You better hope Costco has hot dogs by the zillions.
Yeah, that'd be pretty tough. I kind of like it though. Like, and then
let's throw it out to the people tomorrow.
Yeah,
maybe.
That might be a good idea as we get closer. And the World Baseball Classic is coming up start of March. The Rockies play Team USA. What is that score going to be? Also very concerned about what that's going to do. Good psyche motivator. I'm out of words. Good for the psyche for the Rockies to get that big loss out of the way early.
Just the game won't end. I mean, if it doesn't finish, they never lost, right?
What's the mercy rule at the MLB level?
That's a good question. And how did they pick the Rockies for this?
I don't know. Okay. Confidence boost for Team USA, I would
imagine.
It's got
to be. The only team that doesn't have a participant on Team USA.
We can't put them against anyone who has a possibility of crushing their spirits.
Yeah. Coach Speaks coming up next. Whole show 11 to 2 today for the dude down the hall, for the one and only Brian Garrett. I'm Tanner Schwint. We love you, Northern Colorado. We'll talk to you in the morning.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.